What's going on with dance and stuff? What's happening with dance and things? What's going on? What's happening? What's going on with dance and stuff?
It's the number one of 24. Number one of 24. Okay?
Number one, 24.
Yeah, we started this pod in...
20...
Sorry, I stepped so far away from the microphone, not even understanding what I had just done, but everything's fine.
You don't
fine.
Even know.
I mean, to say so far away in the context of my apartment...
Yeah, close enough.
You know what I mean? It's not right. It's not right. We've been doing this podcast since 2017. I just want to remind our listeners, okay? We're moving into year 7.
Mm-hmm. Soon.
Wow, that's cool.
So cool.
That's very cool.
Seems like longer.
I just had gyro. I was asleep during my gyro.
Oh, that's nice.
Session today. Well, it's it's weird. It's like I need to be more present, but I was tired because I stayed up so late doing a jigsaw puzzle, and I know it's not even done yet. It's really a hard one, and I'm embarrassed to say that because I'm like, I'm meant to be good at jigsaws, but this one is
it's ugly. Not because, like, that's a thing that, like, an 80-year-old does.
I think that's cool that I do old people stuff.
You are.
Although.
you are an old woman.
I am 80. I am, because I was literally doing gyro beside an 80-year-old woman today. And she's probably doing more advanced things than me, for sure.
What else are you doing today? You're going to go sew some things?
I have a dermatology appointment.
Yes.
I have to go to the dermatologist.
So we have to find a new demographic. This is our new demographic. It's old people.
My new demographic is incredibly old. And, you know, I was very critical of old people the other day. Because... I went to the Poetry Project Marathon. And it was great. It was great. And it was Kyle DeKuyan's last Poetry Project as their executive director and manager. And it was very moving. And it was the first time I'd been at an organization, or as part of an event at an arts organization that was taking an anti-apartheid major ceasefire stance in a real substantial way. And I was like, this is fierce.
Interesting. Not surprising.
Did you say not surprising? Well, right. I mean, Poetry Project has the benefit of not having enormous support from, like, billionaires. Right. So they can kind of say what they want.
Well, that, right, which can be said of any kind of outlier, underfunded project.
Right, but to be in, like, a space with, like, people being productive and creative and then really being like, this is what we stand for. I was like, cool. J'adore. And it was a lot of... Okay, so for those who haven't been to the Poetry Project Marathon, for any of our listeners... It happens through the Poetry Project at St. Mark's Church, which also houses, you know, Dance Space and New York Theater Ballet, and used to have the Ontological Theater.
I don't know
stuff.
What that is.
I don't know if they still do that. Nobody knows. But at any rate, Poetry Project does this, you know.
It's kind of their benefit.
13.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's their year-end benefit. Or beginning, it's on New Year's Day. It starts at 11 in the morning and it goes until midnight. And there's an hour break in the middle. And each hour has someone who kind of, like, hosts the hour. And then there's, like, 11 performers who need to, like, do 5 minutes.
So there's a schedule to the extent of, like, a list of people for each hour of the day.
Yes, that's right. So I knew many people performing in the second half of the day, so I was like, okay, I'm gonna go at 6 and I'm gonna stay from 6 till however long I can handle it.
Yeah.
And I sat down, and Ethan and Ned performed, and Niall Harris performed. Aaron Markey performed. Morgan Basicus performed. I mean, there's many, many people I know, but also many excellent people I didn't know. And here's the thing.
What is it?
You got 5 minutes, right? Now, in my estimation, that means the time it takes to get to the thing and to get off the thing. That needs to be included in your 5 minutes. Okay? Now, a lot of our elders, and mad respect to the elders, Karen Finley got up there. Oh, yeah, people were there. They didn't feel bound by time.
Right.
At all.
Well, and it is...
At all.
The experience has a timelessness to it, so...
Wow.
You know, it's like, we'll get there when we get there, one thing at a time. Who's counting?
Well, that's not how I would run the show. I would honestly cut people's audio after 5 minutes.
Well, this is why...
I'd be like, thank you so much. Excuse me, I might. One day.
This is like hippie adjacent. This is, you know, that's why I'm like, yeah, of course it's like peace on earth, goodwill to all.
Right, and no kind of patronizing behavior, right? Because down with the patriarchy, we're trying to reorient our understanding of parenting and rules and structure. And but I'm like, if we're going to be doing that together, we all need to be aware of time.
We know that about you.
I know. We see that in line dancing.
We see it in the streets. We see it.
Yeah.
And you're puzzling. You see it everywhere.
It's true.
You're an 80-year-old fascist.
And all this to say, I left the poetry project around 11 p.m.
Yeah.
Right? And you think, oh, they're heading into their last hour. No. They still had two full hours to go.
That's not great.
No. They were an hour and a half behind, and so I left and went home. And, oh, no, first I went to a diner with my friend Sam Reck, and I had a chicken sandwich. And then I got home, and I put on the live stream of the Poetry Project, still going strong. Yeah, you could watch it home on your computer. And it went until close to 2 a.m.
That's great.
It was great, and it was actually very moving because Kyle.
Annoying about that is like, if you expected to go on,
if
10, you know.
Oh, excuse me. Or if you're like cleaning up the event.
Understood. But it's all. I mean, I think this should just be made clear, so that everyone, because it's all about expectations, and if I mean people should sort of understand or. Maybe that's part of the communal learning curve of like, this will take as long as it takes.
I also think
this was maybe an anniversary. I remember Jack being asked.
It was the 50th anniversary.
They literally asked everyone who had ever done it that was alive.
That's not true.
Because I know Jack was reached out to in a kind of like,
well,
we want
that's because
to
Jack is important to the Poetry Project, but my mother's ex-husband was not asked back this year.
Did he? Was that a problem?
That
for him?
You know, of course. Yeah.
Well,
at any rate, it was a very eclectic and beautifully curated group of many, many people, old and young, different walks of life. Anyways, it was very, I think their name was Ted, don't remember. They got up there and they had worked at the Poetry Project in some capacity in the past. And they did a reading about like the nature of poems. And I was like, wow, that was really helpful. You should start this whole thing every
year.
Well,
you'd have to do it every hour.
And it would be nice. That would help. They started... It said things about like poetry being like holes in space. Mm. It's these places that are outside of time. And I was like, thank you. And it was more explicit than that. I was like, this is really, because I, you know, I've struggled with poems in the past, but this year I felt more attuned.
I love that. You were attuned in.
What do you mean? Did you? I was attuned in. Okay, so that happened. How was your New Year's Eve? What happened it to was, you?
Totally lovely, fine. None.
Did you watch something?
For New Year's?
Did you see friends?
Yeah, we went to
our
neighbor's
mom?
House. And that was nice.
The ones yeah. I met?
Different
oh,
ones.
Oh, different even. Ones even.
Yeah, so it was like a neighborhoody thing that I think was over at like 9:30. So
stop.
It was like a 5 to 9 kind of thing.
There was no countdown.
Oh, no. I'm not staying up for that. I'm sure asleep
wow.
by 10:30. Or, you
Incredible.
Know, watching YouTube videos.
I can't.
Just treating it like another day.
Iconic.
Yeah.
I chose to be celebratory. And Ethan and Ned had a gathering at their apartment, and I
oh,
made
right. I was
beautiful
like,
cookies.
Wait, weren't you at the project? Right, that's New Year's Day. You were doing
Did
puzzles.
Did I send you a picture of the cookies
the
that I made?
Last night.
When? I was. That was the 2nd of January. I did make these gorgeous cookies,
okay.
and I made a
okay.
lot of gougère.
I need to talk about cookies. I need to talk about
okay.
endless cookies being given by neighbors. And I am considering
Uh-oh.
Giving out recipes for Thanksgiving. Because
uh-huh.
if people are going to make cookies, they
like,
should not be making cookies like they are. It's...
Oh, I understand. I thought you meant just like arbitrarily giving out like cards that say stuffing. Like,
oh,
and then
yeah,
it has like a recipe
recipes.
For mashed potato. Yeah. I see. Yes.
It's
I
a
understand.
Crime against humanity.
So you've received some
well,
disgusting
I didn't eat any of them.
This
you can
year.
Just look at them.
I know. That's smart
you
of
you
to just
you can't.
Not eat them.
It's not... No.
One
no.
one cannot.
It's
well,
wild.
I'm happy to share this recipe with you because it was excellent. It was a Susan Spungen mm. recipe from the Times for... windowpane
oh, wow.
jam cookies with marmalade. And they're poppy seed short cookies that you then sandwich jam in between, but you actually sandwich marmalade, as I just already said that. And they're an absolute delight. And they were so beautiful. I'm going to send you a picture
oh, okay.
right now so you can in real time
Respond.
Have a feeling about them.
I think I'm also not interested in cookies,
yeah.
but...
I'm not that interested in cookies in comparison to, like, puddings and cakes. But these cookies were a feast for the eyes, and they were delicious.
And you brought them New Year's Eve? What is the story? Oh, my
yes,
God.
Yes, I brought them.
Eyeballs. I mean, they
I
literally
the
look
New
like
New
eyeballs.
Year.
They are a feast of
yes,
eyes,
they
perhaps. They look
feast
like
of eyes.
Cookies with eggs. Egg cookies.
Yeah, they have a kind of egg character because of the color of the marmalade.
How weird.
Aren't they fun? Well, I mean, they don't look anything like what the Susan Spungen ones looks like, because hers are more like centered and much bigger window panes, and you know, and mine are
googly eyes.
Various. They're googly eyes, yeah. Anyways, I had fun making them, and they were an excellent cookie. So that was my New Year's Day. I baked a ton with the between the gougère and the cookies. Oh no, that was New Year's Eve. And then I went to Ethan and Ned's and I put on some
pants.
Oh, Jeremy. I put on purple wow. pants because I have this pair of Japanese pants that I bought in a manic episode when I was in Kyoto, and I thought, you know, there was a period of years where I was like, wow, that was a stupid purchase. I'm never going to wear those again. But now I'm like, oh, these are nice pants, and I can wear them, and they're dark, dark purple, and they're actually very beautiful. But I saw the night before, now we're talking January 30th. Oh, no, December 30th.
I'm like, when are we?
Are you still with me? December 30th. I went and saw The Color Purple at the movie theater. Yes.
And I also want to talk about
Speaking of The Color Purple.
Fall for the public. Even though we've sort of
for the public.
Talked about it, but
we've discussed.
Okay, but let's do The Color Purple first. I have not seen this movie.
Yes, so
I did see a clip of Cynthia Erivo performing at the Tonys, which I saw her perform in the show,
amazing.
Which I thought was, which was a
wow,
fine show,
lucky.
But tremendous performances, such as that.
Right. Such
yeah.
as Cynthia, one of the greatest singers of our time. But now, I never have seen the Broadway musical.
Okay.
I was aware of the one song that is sung constantly at award shows by Cynthia Erivo, Jennifer
uh-huh.
Hudson, Fantasia
uh-huh.
Barrino.
Yeah, interesting. I saw
I knew that song.
A Jennifer Hudson version as well for maybe like a Kennedy Center honors. Not
yeah,
nearly as good.
Oprah reaches
for
back
Stedman.
To grab
yeah.
Stedman's hands because she's so moved. And when the gospel choir is unveiled, she has quite a reaction. I mean, it's a great performance. It's definitely worth watching as one of like the great Kennedy Center
not,
honors.
Not nearly as good as Beyonce singing. What did she sing? Some Barbra Streisand moment. Beyonce. We did a like YouTube best female performances of all time kind of dive last
night.
Oh,
wonderful!
And
that's a great night. That's a great night. Yeah. No, well, Beyonce one time. Do you know that one time Beyonce sang all the songs at the Oscars?
Well, I think we should keep doing that.
I know. I mean, I thought it was a really inspired choice.
She
like,
should have
yeah.
sung all of,
like
the nominees, and she just sung the whole show.
She did.
No, I mean, like, everyone.
She sang all the...
Not just music. You know, like...
Oh,
best
cinematography. I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she sings it.
Ugh.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Beyonce to host the next Academy Awards.
As
an
opera.
Exactly.
Only sung text. The Academy Awards, the opera. I would go to that.
Well, you wouldn't be able to.
That's a good opera.
You'd want to. We'd watch
it on
TV.
I wouldn't be invited.
All 6 hours of it.
Definitely. Yeah. I'd watch the Opera Academy Awards.
Anyway, you saw The Color Purple.
Anyway, so I don't know the musical. Now, I love the Steven Spielberg film, and I've never read the book.
Nor have I.
But what I've gathered from the behind-the-scenes things and from having watched this new film is that I think there must be a lot of text in the book that is
yes
exactly, well, yes, but exactly what Steven Spielberg used in his film in terms of monologues and stuff, because they were identical in both of these movies.
I would say that
I bet that
the musical is... trying to also be as faithful to the movie because of popularity.
As the Stevens. Oh, I see.
So I don't know if that
I see.
Is anything.
I see. That makes sense,
popularity.
Too. So I don't know the answer to that. But at any rate, the new movie has a lot of verbatim text from the Steven Spielberg film, which was welcome, which was absolutely welcome, because I was in an audience with many black women, and they were... It was basically a sing-along, but a talk-along.
I love that.
And people...
Wait, where did you
see
it?
Oh, it was heaven at BAM.
This sounds ideal.
And Jeremy, it was... I sobbed through two-thirds of this movie.
Oh, I love it.
And the audience was...
Engaged.
So reactive. Yeah. They were... After scenes, they'd be like, beautiful!
Wow.
And I was like, yes, this is... And it was. It's a beautiful film with amazing performances. Danielle Brooks will win an Academy Award for this movie, playing the Sophia role.
Is that a leading actress role?
I think it'll be a supporting actress nomination. Yes. Taraji P. Henson and Fantasia Barrino will knock your socks off. I'm sure everyone will be nominated.
Wow.
It was a joy. It has several songs that absolutely could just be cut that I guess are from the Broadway show. I had zero interest in them. aside from, you know, the song, uh-huh. the big song. But what's nice is that this musical includes songs from the movie as well. Like when Suge right. Avery sings Sister, and when, I don't remember what
right, there's
ones,
all that
but,
kind of performance.
Yeah. But it was, I was like, I had like a lump in my throat that was painful because I was crying so much in this movie.
I am so,
yeah.
Anderson Cooper has continued for a second season of the Grieving podcast.
Oh, interesting.
Highly recommend. There's an absolutely insane episode that I think you would.
Okay.
I felt like this person's insane, but we're not saying, no one's saying anything.
Being
yeah. Anyway.
Well, you just have to send me the episode.
There are only a few. One's an interview with Joe Biden. Biden 2024.
Oh, okay.
That's all I have to say.
I mean,
insane to listen
got.
To this interview and then think of Donald Trump and think that anyone would
anyone.
Do anything other than everything they can
the right
to make
to
Joe Biden
Donald
the president.
Trump. Yeah. Excuse me.
Pardon me.
Excuse me. I mean, it's literally like Star Wars. It's like, so you're either going to vote for good or you're going to vote for bad.
Yeah.
Period.
It is.
That's the end of the story.
Good versus
you're
evil.
You're either going to vote for good or you're going to vote for bad. It's startlingly black and white.
Well, this is what I think is sort of also kind of makes everyone so kind of feel incapable of doing anything, because it's sort of like, what's there to say, obviously.
Right. I mean, is Joe Biden the best thing that ever happened? No. But if we're comparing these apples and oranges, excuse me.
I also have to say, Joe Biden's pretty close to the best thing that's ever happened.
Oh my God. Calm
Here's
down,
the thing,
Jeremy.
Everything is really complicated. So to think that that we would have a president that like satisfies every like thing that we personally want to happen in the world.
Impossible. Not possible.
Is insane.
That won't happen.
I'm like literally someone trying their best to do what is best for a really complicated universe of things happening. Like,
yeah.
It's sort of
yeah.
the best you can do.
It's admirable.
Versus someone who's literally just out to do whatever serves them. It's insane.
Yeah. And Donald Trump has made that very clear. And people who still want him around are just, they're pranksters. They're just stupid idiot.
And I don't, you know, there's sort of, there are those people who are like in the cult, and I don't, you know, I don't even think we need to think about them anymore. Like that's,
no,
they're going to have to find their own way out of that cult, whatever. I'm talking, I more think about like people who are like, I'm going to vote third party.
That's insane.
I'm like,
that's
well,
destroying elections.
That's like, what primaries are for. That's what, you know,
right.
the past year would have been for, is like mobilizing, doing the work, the hard work of finding an alternative, whatever.
Right. If we lived in a country where such a thing was even remotely possible, I'd say go off, vote for a third party. But as we all know, that does not happen here. Like, there will never be enough support for the third party candidate. Period. So why even bother? Sorry, I know that's nihilistic, but...
Well, I think, like, in my mind, it's about, like, it is about a primary system. So, like, you gotta figure it out beforehand.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Get to work, third party folks.
So, it's too late now. I mean, you would have, like, in hindsight, like, I feel like with the Joe Biden scenario, if you wanted the current president to not be the
president,
the primary, you know, to be primaried, essentially, whatever.
The candidate.
That would have had to happen, like, day one, where you give Joe Biden, basically, you force his hand to be like, I'm not going to run again. Like, Kamala Harris will be, like, the candidate.
The candidate.
Which... I did feel like there was room for something like that to happen 4 years ago or whatever. Yeah. 2 years ago.
Right.
Whenever that election ended.
Sleepy Joe's leaning in. He's here.
But I'm also like, remember, anyone notice the like miracle of the economy not fully collapsing? You know? I'm like, it's pretty, there's a lot. There's a lot to be said. But I think we are also a culture that has... kind of been obsessed with being mad and negative. So,
yeah.
Like, if there's anything that you disagree with, then that person, like, shouldn't exist. It's literally, like, a cancel culture adjacent kind of vibe. So, anyway. Really excited to see The Color Purple. Maybe I'll try to go see that in a theater. Sounds like a nice...
Brain tissues.
I mean...
Brain tissues.
Really makes one want to go to BAM to see it. Or even, I feel like anywhere in New York City is going to have a more diverse, engaged audience. Sounds amazing.
Certainly. It was so great. And I wish the best for... You know, I did watch a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. Because there's, like, a little featurette on HBO, on Max, which is, like, half an hour.
Oh, right. With Oprah's picture.
I was, like... Yeah, because Oprah's, like, being the kind of host of this featurette where she interviews the actors, but and also Steven Spielberg. And but I was, like, Oprah, leave them alone on set. Can you just let everyone do their job? Because she was just, like, always, like... commenting on what had just happened and like being a cheerleader and I'm like just let them get on with their work. That was my sense. I was like just don't.
But she also understands it to sell. I mean that's why she was out there like promoting the show. She's like the most famous person.
She's selling. She sold. But I thought that I could tell that perhaps Taraji P. Henson was like, can you leave me alone for a minute, please? But Danielle Brooks, the way that she took it all, that she kind of like
she is such
had
a
this grace
star.
About it all, it was shocking. She was like, I'm so honored to like take on this role from you, Oprah. And like she and Oprah were always crying together. And I was like, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. Yeah. I love this.
That's amazing.
Of all the movies and topics in the world that I should have kind of, like, no personal investment in or relationship to, this would be that. But I somehow find it one of the most compelling stories, and I love it. I love getting swept away
in
the
color
purple.
I feel like I should read the book.
Yeah. I mean, it does have a queer narrative, and that's interesting. And the movie does... engage with that more explicitly than the Steven Spielberg one, which really shies away from it.
I watched all these Whoopi Goldberg Academy YouTube clips, and she talks about, like, the 80s. Because people were upset that there wasn't more gay
there wasn't
in the movie.
More gay in
and
the
she's
movie.
Like, it was literally the 80s. And...
It was.
And they were also surrounded by all of this outrage about Steven Spielberg directing this movie. And she was like,
yeah, it's interesting.
Well, someone else directed then. This is the person who stepped up to make this movie, which I think is true, but I also think, like,
yeah.
I mean, it's, yeah, it's also like Steven Spielberg had the power, unlike other people, to make that movie, which is...
Yeah, it's an interesting thought, because, like, in Hollywood today, that it probably wouldn't be allowed in a way.
Well, it wouldn't be, well, I would say allowed or necessary, you know? So that, it, I think that's kind of the...
Absolutely. That's true.
The trick, and Whoopi's point was that, like, another, like, all-black kind of cast film, like, didn't happen then for a long time because of, like, the NAACP's, like, outrage and, like, banning of it. And I think it was nominated for, like, 13 Academy Awards or something and didn't win a single one.
Yeah. Well, that was really interesting to see... They showed clips from that Academy Awards where all the actors are sitting there not winning them, and they're kind of, like, laughing.
Well, because they knew.
Like...
That, like, the protests against this movie were the reason. I mean, Whoopi is like...
Is that...
That's why that happened. That's why, like, they, like, tried to get people to not see this movie.
Well,
which is, you know, obviously very complicated because, like, they're fighting for, like, black people to be in charge of making films, which is, well...
Well, but also, like, that seems like there's a lot of black people who benefited from
and that's Whoopi's
Steven Spielberg's film.
Point.
Like, her career, Oprah's career, like, everyone in
and
that film, you know, they were given... visibility and they were celebrated and
and we see this
it's
in queer cinema as well, of like all the straight people playing queer roles, because that's how movies get made, with famous people.
Right. I've never really been against that, to be honest. I'm like, acting, like, literally do it, be the thing you're not.
Well, the problem is that queer people, you can ask Jack about this, don't get roles because they're too gay, seeming. Or because, like, they're not famous enough because they've been basically sidelined because they're gay. So fortunately, you know, now Matt Bomer's in every movie.
It's really, it's actually unfortunate. I mean, right now we're living in this time where they are having gay people depict gay characters or queer people depict gay characters, and I feel like we're about to see a huge shift where, like, we're gonna have really high quality LGBTQIA inclusive actors, but right now we unfortunately have Neil Patrick Harris and Matt Bomer as, like, the representatives, which fucking sucks.
Well, I think that they're... We have Benjamin Cumberbatch. There's, like, a lot of actually, like, tremendously talented.
Who is Benjamin Cumberbatch?
From The Power of the Dog. What is his name?
Benedict.
Yeah. Anyway.
Benedict. He's not queer.
No? He only plays queer characters? Is he the opposite of that point?
I don't think I think Benedict Cumberbatch is straight, but I can't speak. I don't know. But we do have Ben Whishaw, who is a gay fella in being British. In being British, that movie that he's always in. Ben Whishaw is constantly in the film Being British.
I have to look this up.
Okay, let us know if Benedict Cumberbatch is merely an ally or is actually licking whole.
Oh my god. He's married to some woman.
I told you. I never for a moment thought Benedict Cumberbatch was a gay fella. Even
okay.
He played...
Yeah, so, you know, maybe that's confusing. But, you know, I think we're in this, like, moving towards, hopefully, moving towards, like, a post-gender world.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think the kids are gonna show up and do it. I think Hunter Schafer is gonna come back on screen and be like, you can do whatever you want, kids.
They love it. Yeah. Patrick Harris. I really like
finished with the color purple.
Let's not say that again.
I'm sorry. He is one of the more disturbing on-screen humans.
Magic. So I really didn't like Anatomy of a Fall, which, okay.
You didn't like it.
I would say the reason I didn't like it is because it added nothing to me. Nothing to me, it added nothing. It also added nothing to me, but to me it added nothing to the story that we've now seen. This is the third iteration of like what would happen if someone died and we didn't know and there's like a spouse and whatever. This like added nothing to that story of the staircase. It is filmed in a like bizarre mix of like cold European ice cinematography combined with like random miscellaneous kind of documentary. And there's this scene where the boy is giving testimony and the camera like goes back and forth as he looks from side to side in this way that I was like, this is repulsive.
I didn't notice that stuff.
It was mainly really boring to me. And it reminded me of like great movies by Michael Haneke that I wish I was watching instead. That have that like really icy kind of, I mean, style that I think he really is the center of. Like Benny's Video.
Never heard of
it. I think of that because like for me the star of Anatomy of the Fall is the child.
The dog?
Yeah, the child and the dog. I mean, that is like the most like emotional part is like the disturbing dog almost dying scene. I'm like, this is crazy.
I didn't want or expect in that movie to have like a like emotional experience per se. I was, you know what I mean? Like I didn't cry in Anatomy of a Fall. I was, because it's not like, it's not a death that you feel you should be grieving,
right,
somehow.
Because he seemed,
it feels like,
well, we
so
really
arbitrary.
Him. And then when we see him, he's
right,
pretty, don't like, not someone we care about.
We don't.
And she's
like
also
him.
Not really someone to care about. And then the boy is a child.
I disagree.
So we care. And he, like, kind of blind. Vision impaired. It's
yes.
Vague to me, like, how blind this person is. That I found kind of strange, in that it like didn't really factor
blind
in
enough,
in a significant way.
Blind enough to need Braille.
Because like his inability to
see, so that's pretty.
Like, but his inability to see doesn't really like come into the murder. It's really about like, what did you hear?
No.
And when and where were you?
Right.
And you're sort of like.
Right.
But this character has vision impairment. So why didn't we use that? But whatever. So there's this weirdness to it being like, if you're gonna do a fiction.
Well, because it was kind of referring to the vision impairment by being like, because of his vision impairment, he has like more attuned hearing. Like, and so let's explore like, what does that mean in the context of this murder? That like, perhaps his child has heard something that maybe others.
Well
that,
they tested
there were no others, but that,
and found that like what he said wasn't true based on his own hearing.
That what
you know.
Oh, interesting.
But
look, I thought it was interesting and exciting, and I really liked the ambiguity of it. I liked the way that the without having the man in the movie outside of the one scene, that it paints a picture of a marriage and a relationship and a kind of, and you don't really have a complete understanding of like the depth of his male fragility until you see this performed audio thing.
Uh-huh.
And I found that really, I liked that. I liked to be kind of like not, I like to not know exactly what
But we
what
already
happened.
Didn't know in the other two movies about this. That's sort of my, where I'm like, well,
but
if we're going to now do like a fiction.
But Jeremy, people make the same story all the time.
Right, but
this,
my point
I,
is
I
this
actually
didn't
never,
like add any,
I didn't.
Like, what I liked about the the original story in the documentary is this like huge lingering question of like, what happened here? And then we did it again with the staircase. So, like, if, like, the center of this is going to be all the same things, like, there was nothing elucidated about, like, that's why here in this fiction about, like, the same kind of scenario, I was like, can we go somewhere else with this? So that by, like, I was like, can we, that was, like, what I hung on to till the very end, where I was like, maybe something else will happen here. And then it didn't, and you're like, why did I just watch this movie?
Interesting. I really enjoy, I think like as a movie of a performance by a female actor, I was like, this is one of the best we've got. I was like, this woman is, she's so skillfully not revealing too much and also like giving us a lot. I thought it was really skillful.
I think there was like a sense of, for me, that there's nothing to give away. There was sort of like a kind of nothing to reveal and a kind of laid backness that allowed for. Like there was no, like in Poor Things, there's like kind of this acting challenge of like, this character evolves over the course of this movie and how do you play that out? Like this, it's like, uh-huh. This is this character who's very kind of simple.
I don't know. I thought I found her very real and complicated. And also like as the audience, she does a thing where like, I don't know anyone who's seen this movie who's walked away from it being like, she did it or she didn't do it. So I think like the way that she kind of maintains the ambiguity through the whole movie is really interesting, that you can walk away from that movie and still be like, I don't know. Like,
uh-huh.
I don't know.
I don't credit her with that though. Yeah.
Really?
Because... Okay. Yeah, I just don't, and like, that feels like editing and directing.
Well, I'm sure there's many things at play, but like, what am I trying to say? Like, I like that she holds many things at once, which feels like real life.
Yeah, no,
She's not an archetype.
Part of why
she's like
I
a real
felt
person.
Like this movie was boring is that it did feel like a real normal kind of like the relationship to documentary I thought was really strange, and like I think that's like where this movie like thought of itself as being, like it's a courtroom drama that's like about a kind of realistic, it's why like the weird camera, especially this moment that I remember with the child, where I was like, now this is acting because the camera, this is rehearsed. It's so hyper rehearsed because the camera's not even like just following the child. The camera is like pre-moving. It's like prepared to move. It's a choreography. Mm. It's like the opposite of a documentary. So like that dynamic, and they would just like kind of put in, like, reporters in a way that was just sort of, like, had no kind of integrity to what the movie was. So I was like, all right, I guess, like, whatever. Do whatever.
Okay. I mean, I guess what I feel, this movie is not stylistically very specific. It certainly isn't camp. It's
the camp, which, you know, sort of by definition is like an accident in how something is serious is felt as funny. Mm-hmm. Like when they she like looks back at the house and they like are throwing a dummy out the window. It's hilarious.
I mean, you can think that, or it's sort of horrifying.
How they do it that makes it feel funny. Because it's in this, like, so kind of cartoon way. You're like, well, that is hilarious.
Well, at any rate, I had a good experience with this film, and I felt like it was a very honest depiction of a complicated person. Of a complicated family.
Yeah, situation.
And I liked how, even though this child was, you know, had a disability, her relationship to it, as opposed to, like, the public expectations of this disability, etc., and, like, the courtroom expectations of the child's disability, like, I found that all very interesting. That she was like, I don't consider my child disabled. Like, he can do everything. Anyways, I thought there was a lot of good ideas. The scariest part is
when he goes for a walk with that dog. Yeah.
At the beginning?
You're like, this child is going to die. Like, walking across that bridge, I was like, oh my god. And then he's not the one that dies. That was the surprise for me in that movie.
I wasn't worried.
Blind. Because like, we really didn't know how blind he was at that point. Seemed quite unable to see at all.
I honestly didn't think he was blind at all until they did a shot of his milky eyes.
Milky whites.
Milky eyes. Okay, anyways, Anatomy of a Fall. Food
Check
for
it
thought.
Out. It was like $5 to watch on at home.
We're divided here at Siskel and Ebert. Mm-hmm, we are one thumb up and one thumb down.
Yeah, Jack really like didn't want to watch the whole movie, and I was like, we're going to watch the whole movie.
Well, Jack is always the first person to turn a thing off.
I'm like, let's just see this through and see what happens. I mean, I went and watched the rest of Saltburn, so, you know, what kind of self-hating activity is that?
Yep.
Did I watch any other movies?
I watched some of The Diplomat, you'll be happy to know.
Loved it. You know, and there's something that happens in that is so... later on, basically, somebody wants to, like, retaliate, and they just, like, want to blow something up. And I thought, yeah, sometimes leaders just feel like they need to blow something up to show that they have power.
I am having it on as background for puzzling, and I don't think Carrie Russell is a great
actor.
Oh,
she's so good.
And I also am concerned about why Rufus Sewell changed his face, the husband.
Changed his face. Well, people are getting older.
Yeah, and that's why you're saying, who is that? Because he doesn't look like he used to.
He looks like the guy from The Holiday.
Because, well, take a look at his old face, because he used to have very asymmetrical eyes. One of his eyelids was quite soft and droopy, and now... neither are. So he's been evened out, and one has to wonder why. I was like, were you having trouble seeing, or did you just want to be unrecognizable?
Well, I recognized him. I mean,
good for you.
I also thought, have you only been in these two things? I don't know.
No, that's the thing. He's been in a million things.
Well, keeps getting new
eyes. He's British. He's British.
Oh, he's in that that British movie with Ben Whishaw, called
Which
British
one?
People.
Oh, yeah, called Big in a British film.
He's definitely in that with Ben.
For sure.
And a few, and some other folks. Judi Dench is always in it. Judi Dench is a supporting character. She'll win an Academy Award for it, for
Best
sure.
Best supporting character, Judi
for
Dench.
Sure. Best supporting British. Yeah, British this and that. What else is going to happen? I'm going to go to the dermatologist today. I'm going to do some
Do you have
work
any
2024
aspirations, desires?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to get my driver's permit again and
So does that mean
drive.
You have to take a written test again? Oh my God.
Yes, I do have to do that again.
Well, you know that. You know that.
But that's
stuff.
Not I don't know if I know it, but I can review it in 10 minutes, Perfect. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So at any rate, that's one thing. You do you have something?
Less meat. And I really think the
good.
Way to go about that is really looking for meatless recipes that that you like would want to make, the kind of go-to-ness of like a recipe. Like there's like a Carlisle music recipe that I like, it's sort of like the in the back pocket kind of recipe for dinner. And you need that kind of meatless.
Yeah, you gotta have.
To have
you gotta
like
have five of those. You
of
know.
That's what I'm realizing. I mean, that's
yeah.
what the recipe I
yeah.
could do meatlessly, but
meatlessly. An adverb no one's
meatlessly.
Ever said.
Allison Roman just emailed a soup recipe that's also meatless that I'm, some kind of, squashy lentily.
Squashy
like
lentils.
Lots of meatlessly made.
Well, yeah,
soups.
I. She has two of the most famous soups in the world
yeah.
that are meatless. I'm now. You know, I made her chickpea thing a couple times. I thought it was fine, but I'm obsessed with her
yeah,
cabbage.
Yeah, the cabbage
soup
is
I'm
really
obsessed.
Is the real real.
It's the best. Dilly bean, everybody, get on the
yeah.
dilly bean.
Herbs.
What else? There's nothing on TV anymore now that...
Because everyone went on strike for 6 months. So I think we're feeling that now. Everything else was
yeah.
made before that. And that's okay. I think pick up a book. Reading's great things.
Yeah.
And,
reading is fundamental, right. as they say.
You like
Start
that Barkley Hendricks show at the Frick? I think that's over. Soon?
Oh, I did. You knew their name. You figured out their name. Barkley Hendricks show at the Frick, excellent. Now, going to the Manet Degas show at the Met,
you didn't. Did
hell.
You abandon outright?
I went on another day, and I got there half an hour before the museum
really
opened so
that
I could just...
So I can see it.
Honestly, here's
okay.
two things about it. It's timed entry, so you think, oh great, I'll have like a pleasant experience. No, you won't. There's still 10 million people in the gallery just being pushed
so
through
also,
like cattle.
Does time entry mean to the museum or the show itself?
No,
Ugh,
to the show itself. So you walk in the museum, it's insane. You walk in the museum,
here's,
you have to like take a picture of a thing and then.
A kind of, not an
yeah.
escalator, but like a, you know?
Oh, yes. Yes, so that you just have
yeah.
to sort of float by.
No, and you just like...
That's genius. That is exactly what they should do in these situations. Get on it again. That is absolutely right. Thank you for being a museum designer. You need to get on their case because these popular exhibitions, you cannot have these assholes just like getting up close and personal with a painting for ages. It's like, sorry, go buy the catalog, you stupid idiot.
Museums designed as... amusement parks? Good idea. No,
Hell.
Good idea. Keep
oh,
things
yeah.
moving.
Oh, I
you,
see.
You, like, get on a ride, you see, like, you know, the Impressionists. Incredible.
Uh-huh.
Keep going.
Yeah.
Keep it moving.
No, I think
you're
that's
in a,
smart.
You're always
Keep
in, like,
moving.
A little, like, car.
Take a picture of a thing that you liked. You don't have
Mona
a lot
Lisa
of time.
Mona Lisa carousel. You know?
Definitely. But, all this to say, you know, it was thought-provoking, I guess. I mean, it was just interesting to see so much of their work side by side and how they move through all these same topics and knew each other and overlapped in terms of, you know, like doing portraits of each other and blah, blah, blah. I mean, Degas lived so much longer than Manet, but Manet's paintings were always slay. Like much more slay than Degas. They were way more slay than Degas. And so it was always like Degas, I think, was trying to like make some kind of an impression.
A solid impression eventually.
Definitely, because ballet. Guess what? They improved a lot. Interesting. Degas got better and better. Manet was just a great painter right off the bat. Just great. At any rate, the walls are purple, which is unfortunate, but if, you know, you walk in the room and you can get over it eventually, but it's hard to look at the entryway and be like, I'm going in there? You know, like... It's hard. It's hard.
Do you think people think that they can, like, make purple work when they use it like that? Like, I'm gonna do it.
Someone spent a lot of time knowing that they were going to make one of the most popular exhibitions of the year, contemplating what color should these walls be, and they came up with, like, the Dowager Countess's dress color, right? Like, dusty-ass purple plum. Goodness. I was like, are you fucking joking?
I mean, anyways. But it sounds like they kind of did it, you know? Like, they made it work.
They literally did it. Well, they did it, and they put paintings on it. Okay.
But, yeah.
But anyways,
this show is so good, it doesn't even matter what color the walls are. Let's go with, like, something that people will hate.
Truly.
Maybe that was their, like, time and energy. You know, they were trying to keep people away.
They're like, don't come to this. You'll regret it. And in a way I did, but
yeah.
I did go to the Women Dressing Women show, which was very concise, but very good. And there's many beautiful pieces in that show. And it's just always a pleasure to walk through the large spaces of the Met, go through the American wing and through the temple wing. And it's, you know, just like has an amazing museum. It's really incredible.
Really is. I'm glad you sent me those photos of people trying to get in the museum. I was like, absolutely not.
Hell.
I'm relieved I didn't go. And it's...
Yeah, you should be.
Well, and then I'm, you know, I guess then in a way I'm like, I'm sad that I didn't go at a different time when it wasn't Christmas and the end of the show.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, I know. That was the museums mistake we all made that
almost
mistake.
Always a nightmare for me. Mm. Like, it's so... Mm. I mean, you have to basically get a membership and go when it's, like, members hours only.
Right. I want to be so rich that I have private museum time. That's the best case scenario. Just alone. Or with, like, two friends. No friends. Alone. Just alone.
And then you meet someone afterwards for a hot soup.
Well, I went with a friend named also Jeremy, and we went to Cafe Sabarsky afterwards at the Neue Gallery.
Iconic.
And we paid a pretty penny for absolutely delicious
lunch. At least it was delicious.
Oh, and also you're paying to sit in that room. It's just extraordinary. It's extraordinary.
Experience. I'm glad the food was good, though. That seems...
It always is. It's so delicious there.
It's great.
So delicious. Anyways, go to Cafe Sabarsky, get the chicken paprikash, and get yourself two desserts at the end, okay? I just made up that name.
It was like food thing to eat.
It was like pieces of chicken heavily sauced in this paprika sauce, and
creamy.
Then the most
brothy.
The paprika sauce is thick, but maybe not creamy. And then served aside it is the most delicious spetzel you'll ever have in your life.
I believe that. It,
absolutely the greatest mac and cheese in New York.
Mm.
Very lactic, delicious, very delicious. Cheese. Anyways, I have to go to the dermatologist.
Well, good luck. Have a good time.
Thank you.
I'm going to strip naked in front of a stranger, and we'll see how it goes. Slay all day, mama.
Mama boots.
Slay my mom.
All right, well.
Okay.
We'll see you here.
Thank you for listening. Happy New Year, everyone. Happy New Year, indeed.
It's going to be great. We're going to take care of each other.
Okay, I'll tell.
All right,
we love you. Bye-bye.